ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 28th chapter, text 43. Patim parama dharma kyam vaidarbi maladatvacham premna parya charatitva okamsa pati devata. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The daughter of King Vidarbha accepted her husband all in all as the supreme. She gave up all sensual enjoyment and in complete renunciation followed the principles of her husband, who was so advanced. Thus she remained engaged in his service. Purport. Figuratively, King Malayadvaj is the spiritual master and his wife Vaidarbhi is the disciple. The disciple accepts the spiritual master as the supreme personality of Godhead. As stated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Gurvastakam, Sakshat Haridvena, one directly accepts the Guru, the spiritual master, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should accept the spiritual master not in the sense that the Mayavadi philosophers do, but in the way recommended here. Since the spiritual master is the most confidential servant of the Lord, he should be treated exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual master should never be neglected or disobeyed like an ordinary person. If a woman is fortunate enough to be the wife of a pure devotee, she can serve her husband without any desire for sense gratification. If she remains engaged in the service of her exalted husband, she will automatically attain the spiritual perfection of her husband. If a disciple gets a bona fide spiritual master, simply by satisfying him, he can attain a similar opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here the story of Puranjana, analogical story, narrated by Narad Muni to King... what was his name? The king name? It's a long time ago. Rachinibari Sat. So he was a fruitive king, attached to fruitive activities, Karma Kandya. So this story was narrated to him as an analogy, narrative. So now this goes already on several chapters here in Vrindavan. And the story finally comes to a high point here again, and the final conclusion of the almost unending story. Actually, the story of the living entity is an unending story. Shastras say anadir. Anadir bahya mukha. Since time immemorial, the conditioned soul is in contact with material nature, lording it over, considering himself, controlling it to enjoy, to exploit. Krishna bullies a chief. This Bengali verse, Krishna bullies a chief. Actually, the living entity belongs to Krishna. It's Krishna's energy, Tathashta. Marginal energy, Tathashta Shakti, belongs to Krishna's energy. We are his eternal part and parcels. But somehow or other, since time immemorial, we forget or we forgot our eternal identity, or actually inherent fundamental nature of the soul to actually be not enjoyer, but be Krishna's servant. And because we turn our face away from Krishna, become automatically covered and influenced, our consciousness become influenced by Maya. Krishna Bhulisa Jeev, Anadya Bahi Mukha, Atta Eva Maya, Taradaya, Taradeya, Taradeya, Samsara Dukkha. So this verse further explains how the living entity, influenced by Maya, by illusion, Maya Tare, Maya causes her, the living entity, to go in life after life to different species, sometimes considering enjoyers, sometimes the sufferers. Samsara dukkha. But actually, if you are now the enjoyer or sufferer, the material world is meant ultimately for suffering. Samsara dukkha. It's stated here. Samsara dukkha means it's a miserable condition. But because the living entity is also has a nature similar like the Lord, the Lord is enjoying, he's happy, he has qualities, he wants to engage, he engages in various activities. So the living entity, because of nature, also has this tendency, Ananda Maya Abhyasat, stated in Vedanta, Ananda Maya, or in Shrutis, Ananda Maya Abhyasat, the living entity is pleasure-seeking. Sometimes we become king, sometimes we become a servant, sometimes we are a man, sometimes a woman, sometimes a demigod, sometimes an animal, sometimes in very lower species, underneath the earth, where we don't even ever see the sun again. So the cycle of birth and death forces the living entity, like a merry-go-around, going up and down in this cycle of birth and death. The living entity is actually by nature not Purusha. It's not Purusha, it's not enjoyer. Only out of illusion or in illusion we consider ourselves an enjoyer, that I'm king or I'm a great servant or a great master or a great husband or a very chaste, nice wife. Actually, all is illusion. All is because it's a bodily conception of life that keeps us here in this material world. So we're conquered by this Maya, and therefore in this enjoying spirit, but it's actually not our real nature or real nature what makes us happy, we suffer. We suffer and going through the cycle of birth and death. So the living entity by nature is Prakriti. It is to be enjoyed. By whom? By the Supreme Purusha, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But for the conditioned soul in this material world, the conception about God, the Purusha, it's very vague, it's very difficult to find out by our own sense perception. Taksi Krishna Namadi, Nabhavaikrayam Indriyai, it is described. We cannot understand the Lord or perceive the Lord's name, qualities, pastimes, etc. With our material senses. Because our material senses are polluted by material nature, by the Maya, by the different modes of nature. Therefore, we see, like through glasses, if you have yellow glasses, everything yellow and blue. But if you have blue glasses, and red if you have red glasses. So the conception of the living entity was originally pure. Satchitananda is filtered by the conception of different life perceptions. And all the time he identifies himself and thinks, this is I am. And this is my I and this is mine. And develops so many attachments. So ultimately, if it don't come to the point of serving according to our real nature, to find out about the Purusha, or become curious about him and try to approach him, and we can never find out with our material senses. Therefore, seva mukhe hi jivado svayam eva spuratyada. Only if our senses engage with hearing and chanting, shravanadi shute chite koryodaya, Krishna becomes manifested. Krishna's name becomes manifested. Krishna's pastimes become quality, personality, rupa, all become manifested, understandable by the searching devotee. But the channel or the secret of success is, we cannot go directly to find out about the Lord, like we cannot go directly to find out about the sun. Science always want to find out directly everything about this universe. Sometimes they think, now we found out. But then many, many years later, they have to review everything and change all their perceptions. That means with sensual perception, we cannot understand what is the sun, even the sun planet, what to speak about the Lord. So if we want to find out about the Lord, we have to come in contact with scripture, Shastra. And to understand Shastra, we have to find out somebody, or I would say, learn from somebody who knows Shastra, who knows scriptures. Therefore, he who is teaching the scripture is the guru, and he who is learning the scriptures from the guru is a shishya. Shastra can mean weapon also. Cutting our ragas, our attachments to material sense gratification, material conception. So raga becomes cut, our vita raga baya krodha, our material conception, with everything what is connected with it, with lust and greed and envy and fear, become cut by the weapon of knowledge given by the spiritual master. So therefore the spiritual master, in that sense, is a direct representative of the Lord. Sakshatari Vinasa Master Shastraya Uktastata Bhavyata Eva Sattvi. So he's a direct representative, and as such, he is to be worshipped and respected as the Lord himself. We cannot respect the Lord now in the deity form and disrespect Guru. It's not proper. Krishna never will look at us. He never will grace us with his darshan, with his unconditional mercy. The unconditional mercy of the Lord is to bring us in contact with Guru, with the spiritual master, who is above the material conception, who is able, who realized the conclusion of Vedas, realized it, and is absorbed in it all the time, and is teaching his disciples accordingly. He is Guru. That's the function of Guru. So the Guru's duty is to teach his dependents, those who take shelter in him, about process of bhakti, how to connect with the Purusha, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore he is Sambandha Guru. Diksha Guru is Sambandha Guru. He is initiating us, giving us mantra, He's giving us life. He's giving us prana. He gave our meaningless life, material life, a meaning. Therefore, he's Diksha Guru. He's a manifestation of the mercy of Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan. The two gurus, as we know, Diksha and Shiksha. The Diksha is a representation of Madan Mohan, and the Shiksha Guru is a representation of Govinda Dev. They are the two of the three main Ishtadevs here in Vrindavan. Gopinath is the third one, who is giving us the pure mood of Krishna Prem, how to serve Krishna in the mood of the gopis. So sometimes they like to jump over and directly go to Gopinath. Vasila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, if you go directly to Gopinath from your conditioned stage, you will fall down. You become but you don't fall down directly in material life. It goes step by step and step and step in the degrading way. If you don't can take shelter in Gopinath because of our condition, material conception, we first become Vaikuntha worshippers of Lord Vishnu, four-armed form, Lakshmi Narayana, with awe and reverence. But there, because we are still conditioned and not perfect, because we go by our own perception, and we go further, become Pancha Upasana worshippers. Worshippers of the five gods, Vishnu, Shiva, Ganesh, Surya, and Durga. And if you are on that level already, then you are already quite on the material Mayavadi platform, and from there you will practically become a Durga worshipper, Shakti worshipper, doing charity, opening hospitals, doing well or good to others, and become a philanthropist and humanitarian worker. And then you're finished. You're in the material world again. But you're not famous as Malayadvaj. You're famous as a well-wishing friend of all living entities. You're famous as somebody who is doing good to others. Maybe you're not enjoying that, but you're doing that work. And you get that fame. but this fame is in comparison with Malayadvaj fame, who is as steady and staunch as the Malaya mountain and swings the flag, Dvaj, of victory, of conquering all the different material conceptions or speculative understandings about the truth by his arguments, by his staunch and very deep understanding of Shastra and Guru and Sadhu. His faith in the Lord is completely absorbed, completely fixed like a mountain, unmovable. Nothing can shake him. Nothing can deviate him from that path of the pure Krishna Bhakti. When Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy in South India, what is the greatest disaster in life? Ramananda Roy replied, greatest disaster is if we are separated or have not relationship or contact with pure devotee. If we have not this close association, relationship with the pure devotee, that's the greatest disaster. And that is the most important association we should relish and go after in life, is to associate with pure devotees. That was Ramananda Roy's conclusion to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's questions, who played the role of somebody who was questioning, and Ramananda Roy, who was the knower of rasa, knower of the truth, he could give the perfect answers. Of course, he was the Lord's devotee, and Lord Chaitanya was the Lord himself. So the devotee knows very well, if the Lord using me practically become my disciple or subordinate and ask questions to me and puts me in a higher position than himself, then he wants to teach something through that. He wants to teach that actually my unalloyed devotee, like Ramananda Roy, who is completely, practically one with my interest, with my heart, is even worshipable by me. And I accept lessons from him. Just to teach the devotee, the people in the world, you know, how to approach and learn from a highly advanced devotee. Don't be envious on the devotee. Because if we are envious on the devotee, we only harm ourselves, nobody else. So we have to change our adi root of disease in this material world, original root of enviousness, was actually coming from deep in the heart and our navel of a material existence. We have to change it into love, into prem. But we cannot do it by ourselves. We can only do it if we come in contact with the Chintamani of Krishna's grace, Radha Krishna's grace, by coming in contact with Spiritual Master, coming in contact with pure devotee. So if Lord Chaitanya is teaching how to accept lessons from a highly advanced devotee. But the highly advanced devotee also knows his position. When he saw that Lord Chaitanya respected him and was very happy about his different answers, ultimately, he became very shy. He became very humble, extremely humble. And he told, actually, my dear Lord, you're confusing me because you put me in superior position of you. And you asking me questions and I give answer. But actually, I know it is opposite. I'm the instrument and you're the speaker. I'm just the doll in your hands. And you speak, I dance and I speak according to your will. It is not my words. It's not my knowledge. Whatever knowledge we have, if we think this is my knowledge, I have realized it without seeing in the relation of the supreme knowledgeable person, we are great fools. And ultimately we become very ignorant and lose everything. So therefore the disciples who is instrumental in the Lord's hand is always very humble. Humble in front of the Lord, and he's also very humble in front of Guru. Actually, in front of Guru, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his own example, he showed that we should not consider ourselves greatly learned, pandit. When we approach him, we should consider ourselves fool, not pandit. Otherwise, we become bandit. We become thieves. We become cheaters, cheating ourselves. So, in front of the Lord, we have to become very humble, very feel insignificant. Like Sanatana Goswami, when he approached Lord Chaitanya, he felt very insignificant. I'm very foolish, ignorant. because I don't know what is my real identity. And if I don't know what is my real identity, who I am, then how I know how to act and what to speak, what is the sadhya, the goal of life. The goal of life we cannot understand as long as we identify ourselves with something that we are not. And these are words of a great personality like Sanatana Goswami, who was very knowledgeable in material and in spiritual science, but he also showed, you know, how to approach the Lord and also how to approach Guru in very humble, submissive mood to get instruction from him. And now I came before you. You are Prabhu. I am very insignificant servant. You know everything. And you know what is the best for me to teach. Therefore, please teach me according to what you feel it is important for me to know. So, if one serves the Lord, or especially his devotee, his representative, in such a mood, then all knowledge of the Vedic scriptures of Shastra will become revealed in the heart of such a devotee. All ignorance will become removed. And we will become practically pure and knowledgeable and realized and become recognized by the Lord and by the spiritual master. The secret is to become recognized by spiritual master. I can make big show before spiritual master, how advanced I am, how much I know, how many books I can distribute, how much service I do, how nicely I worship deity. But the Guru sees our inside. He's not seeing what we're doing. He sees what we're still holding back, what we could give. And that he wants to extract from ourselves, you know. What can I do more? What can the disciple give more than just his external service? External service is very nice, but if the heart or consciousness is not there, we become also again cheater and be cheated. And cheating ourselves. So external service is very nice, but we have to do it with the heart, connected with the instruction of Guru. This is unity. This is the real unity. This is yukta, as we heard yesterday. This is yukta. This is yoga. This is connection. Connecting with the interest of the Lord. This is unity. Don't try to become independent, free man. Of the Lord. Try to unite with Him, connect with Him. But how connect with Him? We only can connect with Him through auspiciousness, auspicious association of pure devotee. And Vidarbhi, she had this good luck. She got this association of Malayadvaj, a staunch devotee, who was fixed in devotional service, in his sampradaya, in his devotion to the Lord, in the super soul. He was not envious. He was not in the dualistic mood. He saw everything in relation with the Lord. Stavara changama deke na deke taramurti sabatra hoi nicha ista deva spurti. The Mahabhagavata sees everything in relation with the Lord. What is the verse? The verse from Bhagavad Gita. Pandit verse. Vidyanai sampane brahmani gavi hastini suni chaiva svapake cha pandita samadarshina. It's the pandit verse. So the pandit or the self-realized devotee, he sees everything in relation with the Lord. A brahmana, a dog eater, an elephant and a dog. Svapake, Pandita Samadashina. One time, one man, he was, the Prabhupada's time, he was favorable to Prabhupada's work. And he visited him and he had some darshan with him, some discussion, and about philosophical point from this Pandita verse. So he asked Prabhupada, I see, there's some in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says one should be equal to Brahmana, to even the dog eater, to the dog, to the cow, to elephant, but I don't see this in you. Swamiji, I don't see this in you because you're chastising. You're chastising your disciples, you're chastising the scientists, you're chastising the Mayavadis, you're chastising practically everything in your books, besides of the pure bhakti and your sampradaya. So, because Prabhupada is Malayadvaj, his victory flag is very, because it's fixed, he's convinced. As Prabhupada also used to say, because I'm convinced, I can convince you. If you're not convinced, how you can convince others? Not possible. The Prabhupada was fixed. Therefore he could chastise. Another time also Prabhupada told, because I'm old man, I can chastise. You are young man, you cannot chastise like me. Because they take me seriously. I'm authority. I'm old. I'm experienced. But you are still greenhorn. You're still teenager or 20, 30 years old. Nobody take, no scientist, no philosopher, no Mayavadi will take you serious. Real Mayavadi. So anyway, this man, he asked Prabhupada, I cannot see in you Patita Pandit, Samadarshina, equal vision. So then Prabhupada said, yes, it's very high level, it's not my level because I'm preaching. I try to see everything in relation to Krishna, and and I arrange everything in such a way that becomes related to Krishna. I train my disciples like that. How ultimately the whole world can engage in Krishna's service. The man, he was ultimately very impressed. When he came out and he met the devotees outside, he replied to the devotees, yes, Swamiji is really Pandita Samadarshina. Because he sees everyone with equal eyes and gives everyone the opportunity to serve Krishna and to come in contact to Krishna. This is actually real Pandita, Pandita Samadarshina. That's real. Actually, all the followers or servants, disciples and grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they are all like different parts of his body, engaging in his service, in serving according to our capacity to please him. Like one disciple once asked Prabhupada, now I can see, ISKCON is growing more and more, and I'm very much afraid, in the future I will not have a personal relationship or contact with you so much as now, because you will not have time anymore. And then Prabhupada told, I'm very small. I'm very small. And I have to do everything myself. I have to print the books, I have to distribute the books, I have to worship the deities, maintain temples and deity worship and management, and traveling around all the world, all over the world all the time. But I cannot do that, because I'm small. Therefore I need all you disciples. Who are taking up some responsibility and do the service in my name. Do it for my satisfaction as prolonged limbs of Srila Prabhupada's body, serving him in our according to our capacity in different ways. And in this way we can actually always find unity with Prabhupada, connected with Prabhupada, and feel near to Prabhupada, feel contact to Srila Prabhupada. Not only as disciple, or very old or senior, near disciple, any disciple, any grand and even the future grand disciple, but already is going on now, they will feel this contact with Srila Prabhupada. Because he is this Malayadvaj in modern age, in a really real form, not in an analogy, but he is that personality who is teaching us by his own example as perfect Acharya. And if we follow him faithfully, either directly or if we're following the followers of him, it's perfect. They may be not perfect, it's not a problem. We should not think now how much I'm perfect or not perfect. Don't get a complex, either perfect complex or not perfect complex. It's all complex. So we should not think about that. We should only try to please Srila Prabhupada. Try to become instrumental in his mission or in his service. And that's actually perfect. That's perfect. Everything else will come. And then ultimately Krishna will be happy. If you learn how to serve the pure devotee, empower devotee, then one will become recognized by Krishna, even though you are not perfect. Even you are a follower of the follower of the follower of the follower. You are perfect. Krishna recognizes you. Krishna is very great. He's very merciful. But the key to Krishna's grace, to attain Krishna's grace, is his lotus feet. Taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. And who is situated at Krishna's lotus feet? Who is situated? The devotees. They're like honeybees going around the honeycomb of the lotus flower. Always there. Going for the nectar. So the devotees are always situated on the lotus feet of the Lord. And they relish that. This seva, this service. So therefore if we come in contact with these devotees, serving these devotees who are always eternal associates of the Lord, we become recognized. And ultimately the Lord, through his devotee, and through his through the gurus, who is also considering himself, by the way, disciple, not guru. Prabhupada say, guru, even his own Guru Maharaj never saw his disciples as disciples, he saw them as Prabhu. Not to become puffed up now, because a disciple always should become aware about his position. But the guru always sees the disciple sent by his Guru Maharaj for him to learn and to expand his service. That's great mercy. It's all the prasad of Guru, of Sri Guru. Therefore, Sri Guru Charana Padma, Narottam Das Thakur says, the most venerable, worshipable Guru is called Sri Guru. Sri Guru Charana Padma, by taking shelter at his lotus feet. That's the perfection of life. And even life after life. Doesn't matter. If we are situated in the service of the lotus feet of Sri Guru, you don't have to be scared what will be your future. It will be very brilliant. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Sima Bhagavatam Ghi Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ghi. Still maybe have some time, some question or comment by our Venerable Sannyasis, Maharajas.
Just as Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice class, Rohini Sutta Prabhu. At the beginning of the lecture, you mentioned this Anandamaya Vyasad. We often hear that the living entity is by nature like pleasure seeking. But then you also said that the living entity is not the enjoyer. It's a big mistake where just Krishna's eternal servant, he's the Purusha, he's the enjoyer. So if we're by nature pleasure seeking, then it seems like a contradiction.
And by nature we are pleasure seeking, but we don't know the secret, you know, how to attain the pleasure. In the eternal nature, I would say Svarup, in the spiritual world, that's the fact. And as pure living entity, this is also a fact. But because we are pure and on the neutral stage, not having a relationship to Krishna or also not a relationship to Maya, ultimately we cannot stay. You cannot stay in Nirvana, in Brahman, for a long time. You have to fall. Because you are driven by your tendency to enjoy, to act. Therefore you have to fall down and come again on the material sphere and engage in different activities to become happy. And there's different various degrees of happiness, you know, but the ultimate happiness is only in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's above Brahma-gyan. That we are no, that we are Brahman, aham Brahmasmi, that's okay. But this is not our goal of life. This Vaishnava is not satisfied just to know that I'm eternal, that I'm happy by nature, that I'm Brahman. He's not happy with that. He wants to engage his senses in some kind of rasa, more active rasa with the Lord. Because if we don't develop the active rasa with Krishna, then we have to get the rasa somewhere in this material world in one way or another, in the name of family and wife, children, etc. Parents. That's normal. And then we find some happiness also like that, but it's always mixed with unhappiness. The pleasure energy of Krishna is called Ladini. Ladini Shakti, right? That's pleasure energy of Krishna. It's Radharani. Vishnu Purana describes that Ladini Shakti, actually, although we speak about Krishna as many Shaktis, that he has many, many Shaktis, but actually, by principle, by origin, he only has one Shakti, who acts in different ways, like electrical energy. You can heat and you can cool. But it's the same energy, it's electrical energy. So the Shakti is one. It's actually Ladini Shakti, coming from Radharani. But the Ladini Shakti, coming to this who's also in this material world, is not because it is not in relation with Krishna, becomes a shadow energy, Maya, and it causes us some kind of mixed pleasure, not a real pleasure, some mixed pleasure, mixed with unhappiness, with misery, and that's the problem. So it's this Ladini Shakti in this material world is actually creating us trouble, causing great difficulties and miseries. But if we learn through the channel of Sampradaya and Guru, Sri Guru, to learn how to engage energy in Krishna service, Nibbanda Krishna Sambande, Yuktam Varagya Uchate, then we become really happy. Like this South Indian from Ramanuja, before Ramanuja line, was Kula Shekhar or Yamunacharya. Maybe it was Yamunacharya. I always mistaking one. He says, I'm very happy. Since I'm in the service of Krishna, I feel great happiness to have such a perfect master. It's Yamuna? Yamunacharya. That I feel great happiness, you know, to have such a perfect master. It's also a nectar of devotion. I feel very happy to have a perfect master like Krishna, like the Lord, Lord Narayana or Krishna. I'm the servant and he's my master. So this gives me great happiness, great joy. Like a dog who has a good master, he's naturally happy, he's supplied, maintained. So he has no problem. But if he becomes street dog, you know, they have no friend. Like here in Vrindavan, you see, nobody is friend of any one of the dogs. If they can harass somebody, they pack together to attack one dog or a pig on the street to get the food or something, you know. Or just get rid of it, you know. That's our region here. This is our realm. But ultimately, no dog likes another dog. All dog is barking against the other one. And biting each other's face and ear and legs and everywhere. They're biting. They have no friends. Of course, they're dumb dogs. It's another story. But that's the life of the dog on the street. But if the dog has a master, especially if the master is a guru, we are the disciple, his dog, then we can be very happy that we have such a nice master, that we have, he maintains us, he takes care, he's engaging us. And we also have to engage in his service, you know. He is inspiring us, and we have to see, you know, how to protect him, his mission, his temples, his heritage, what he gave to us. This we have to protect, his house. Then we become happy, because then we are united, connected with Parampara. Okay, Maharaj? I don't know if it is satisfying you. Or if I understood you properly. Then you have to tell this on a separate class. You could. Because maybe you know the answer. And that's how I can reply now.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your very wonderful class. You were mentioned that the Diksha Guru is the Sambandha Guru. So the same Sambandha Diksha Guru can be the Abhidej and Prajoyana Guru, or the Abhidej Guru and Prajoyana Guru can be someone else.
Yeah, but Diksha Guru you can only have one. He always takes your Diksha Guru, and you have to respect him, never ignore him. And you always have to get permission. In case your Diksha Guru cannot give it to you, you know, by his permission, by his blessings, only you can approach Shiksha Guru, who can teach you further. But you have to get the blessing of your Diksha Guru. You should not do it by your own. Understand? But
yeah, because you also were talking about Shiksha Guru, but for example, in the case of Srila Prabhupada and many of our previous acharyas, so Prabhupada only took Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, at least what I know, as his Diksha and his Shiksha Guru. And Prabhupada took Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati as his Diksha and Shiksha Guru. So, I don't know, when you were mentioned that the Sambandha Guru, it sounded for me that Abhidej Prajoyan Guru.
Yeah, the first thing what the Guru is doing, he connects you. Sambandha means connecting, you know. And that you have your relationship. You have to know who you are, who is God, what is your real nature. You have to know So otherwise you cannot connect. So the first guru, the first duty of guru is he connects you. So this is sambandha. So, but the same guru can also give you the abhideya and the prayojana. Because guru ultimately is Krishna. Radha and Krishna, they reveal this through the guru. So we have this faith as Prabhupada follower. The Prabhupada gave us everything. He gave us everything. We don't have to take shelter or shiksha outside of ISKCON. But the devotee is in ISKCON, no? By following Srila Prabhupada gradually, some advancements, some realizations, you know, should appear, hopefully. And apply this in your life, and you can get this great mercy then of Guru, that he can give you everything what is secret in the scriptures become revealed by faith in Guru. Yasya devet para bhaktiya yatha deve yatha guru. So it's everything revealed. So it's not that we have to go now finding out somebody else who give us that. First of all, many want to find out because we think, oh, I'm already so many years around, so I have to find shiksha outside somewhere, you know, to make further advancement. But who knows that you are already advanced now? Because the Vaishnava always should feel humble and dedicated to his Guru Maharaj, and then find a connection with him, and everything will grow if you are in connection with this channel. All your desires become fulfilled in this way, because Krishna is revealing himself and gives you everything what you need. Or he also sends you devotees, you know, to guide you further. That's also mercy by Guru. But it has to be accepted and respected by, and suitable, you know, to our founder Acharya's idea, you know, and that we will not create disturbance and problems. Understand? Hare Krishna. Glory to Prabhupada. Grantanar Srimad Bhagavatam Gita.